This month, we're talking about change, and the opposite to change is frustration. The consequence of frustration is all emotional problems, all stress, all agitation, all reaction, anger, sadness, depression, poor immune system, frequent colds, headaches, brain fog, excessive fatigue, weight gain, especially low mood, feeling like you're in a funk, alcoholism, addiction, pissed offness, exhaustion, you name it. It comes from frustration, and frustration comes from the inability to change. And so I'm going to deal with this topic today in as part of the month of change. Please don't think it's not related. Frustration comes from the root frustra, and frustra in ancient language is the boundary line between what you know and what you don't know. The boundary line between what you're comfortable with and what you're uncomfortable with, between the known and the unknown. So there's a quote that says, the more you know, the more you know you don't know. And so as life goes on, the more powerful these frustra get, because the more you know, which builds you into the walls of the fortress of you, your identity, the more you know, the more you build a frustra, you build a frustra wall. And the more you don't want to know what you don't know. But the more you know, the more you know you don't know. And so the older you get, and I'm talking post 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, the less inclined people are to make change, because they've invested so much in knowing what they know. So if we get this clear, if a tree, for example, decided that it wouldn't have any more growth rings, it would be the equivalent to a person saying, I have a frustra, I have invested a lot in what I know, and I don't want to change it. I don't want to let it go. I don't want to get involved in the unknown. I don't want to know that the more I know, the more I don't know. And that becomes stress. It also is a stress, not only mental stress, because when I say stress, most of us think, oh yeah, that's the stress you see people with at work, you know, emotional stress. But the biological stress of the more you know, the more you know you don't know, and resisting that, the biological stress ends up being an attack on the immune system. The financial stress of the more you know, the more you know, the more you don't know, becomes greed. And so you can see this concept of trying to stay within the fortress walls, the gates of the fort or the castle. You can see this concept affecting everybody, and especially when it comes to business, because we don't automatically have what's called a growth mindset. A growth mindset means whatever I know is only temporary. That if I know something that got me from base camp 1 to base camp 2, what will get me from base camp 2 to base camp 3 up the mountain is very different to what we got from 1 to 2. And so the concept of climbing up through frustra rings up to the top of a mountain is very important, because what it says, again, is what got you, and remembering that the circle which defines the seven areas of life is actually the base of a cone. And each of the areas lead to the top of the mountain. And so the more you know, the more you don't know in finance, in your IP, mental, in your environment, in your family, in your relationship, in your self management, the more you know you don't know. And wanting to say that I do know what I know, and therefore what I know is right, is very, very, very stuck. It's very temporary. Understandable, because nature grows in cycles, right? Nature grows at the border of support and challenge, order and chaos. And therefore, like a sine wave, we can say, I know everything right now. I'm in order. I don't want to go into chaos. I don't want to go into the unknown. But boom, it's going to happen. And to expect it to happen is really, really, really healthy. Because then you don't beat yourself up for having chaos. What you say is, time for learning, time to grow. And most importantly, time to let go of what I know, because what I know got me to here, but it won't get me to there. So if you talk to somebody in your family about it, about being frustrated, or frustrated with somebody at work, frustrated with your work, frustrated with your relationship, frustrated with your health, frustrated with your discipline, frustrated with your performance, they'll probably tell you to calm the hell down or go to yoga or meditate or see a coach or change jobs, and that there's nothing actually wrong except you're working too hard and you're not spending enough time with the family. So people give advice from the point from which they value. So it's like asking a person with a hammer, how do I put that screw into the wall? And they'll say, hit it. And so their friends, your friends and family and people are enablers. They enable you to stay within the frustra. Now, most importantly, to recognize that's not wrong. That's their job. You choose your friends because they're like-minded. You choose your family because they're like-minded. And if your family turns into a person who challenges your frustra, you are not going to be friendly. It's not romantic. It's not loving. It's not kind. It's not appropriate. And it's very, very bad-mannered. It's like sitting at the dinner table talking about religion or politics. Two subjects you must stay away from in public at a dinner table with your family or with someone else's family. And so you choose those people very carefully. You choose typically those people that you hang out with in sport, those people you hang out with in friendship, those people you hang out with in family, those people you hang out with down the beach. You choose them very carefully because they're like-minded. They allow or enable your frustras to exist. In doing so, that's a great thing because they sustain what's called order in the chaos. They help you think you know what you know. But there's a job to be done, and the tree will break through that frustra or die. You will break through those frustras or die, and you will enter into that new frustra incompetent. So the reason that you would seek professional help in any shape or another, as a mentor, as a coach or whatever, outside of the scope of people you call your friends, is because that person's job is to challenge the frustra and introduce you to knowledge that you don't want to know. Because the more you know, that's your identity, the more you know you don't know, but you don't really want to know it because it feels really uncomfortable. So you're not going to get good advice from friends and family on things that frustrate you. And that's a really important knowledge. You don't expect it, you don't want it, and you don't get it. If your partner starts challenging your frustra, you won't like them, you won't feel attracted to them, you won't enjoy being with them, and you won't be honest with them. You'll hide it. And it's the same as you do that to your partner, try to challenge their frustras. You're going to become like a coach, and that is a role you do not want to play with someone you're romantically engaged with, nor someone at work, because at work there are laws preventing you from attacking people's frustras. This is the hard part about leadership in business, is you want people to grow through frustra, but you can't take them there because they hit a frustra, they get an identity, they get safe in that identity, they recruit others around them to validate and enable that identity, and they do not want to know the unknown. So leadership, obviously, a big part of leadership is the crash and burn philosophy, burn the boats. And that's what we talk about a lot in great leadership, is you don't smooth people through change, you crash and change. One of the great change modalities I learned about very early in my coaching career with business, and I did thousands of business consultants and corporate and business change programs, was fire half the people and pay the half that are left twice as much. And that's probably one of the few ways you're going to get a business to grow at the pace of the market. So frustration is the most extreme version of negative mind noise there is. Frustration leads to all the dark and negative and heavy emotions that there are. Frustration cannot compete with ingratitude. Frustration cannot compete with its solutions such as meditation or gratitude exercises or holidays or or even time out or life balance. Frustration permeates everything and it starts to become endemic and it starts to become the default. So we have to attack frustration right at the source. And this presentation and the other presentations that follow it on this topic are going to help you deal with frustration right at the nub, right when you feel it, right when you know it is. One of the great signs of frustration is high shoulders. You know, when you're riding a bike or you're sitting at the office and suddenly you find your shoulder blades or your shoulders are up around the top of your head. You've pulled your neck up because you're tense. Tight neck, tight shoulders, that's frustration. That's frustration. But when you start slamming your hand on the table or getting angry at people or short-tempered, that's frustration gone rogue. So we need to be really, really mindful that this is probably the cause of most mental health, most disruption, most performance problems with people in the world, and probably the cause of half of their relationship problems. First, I want to tell you that you might be suffering from what might be called negative mind noise, in other words, frustration. It's a problem that lurks deep inside people that could be the root cause of exhaustion, sleep discomfort, brain fog, alcohol cravings, weight gain, and even acne. So I want to introduce you to the process to help you resolve it. Now, I tested this all. I tested it on one of the most important test beds in the world. That's me. You see, for many, many years, I thought I was doing everything right. I was eating right. I was exercising, doing meditation, being a great dad, making a profit, and being the best me I could be. And after all, I'm a behavioral science expert, so I should know what I'm doing. I rarely ate fast food. I took holidays. I ran 30K a week and worked out at the gym every day. Despite all this, I was not making the people I cared for and most cared about and led in the world happy. Eventually, with high blood pressure, migraine headaches, a little bit of arthritis, high cholesterol, and a reputation for being a bit unforgiving in business, I started asking myself, if I'm doing everything right, why do I feel bad all the time? I had no idea it was all coming from the psychosomatic self or my inner wealth self. I had no idea frustration was at the root of everything that was going wrong. If you're with me on this, you'll probably know exactly when you feel isolated and confused, something isn't right, but you don't know quite what's causing it. You feel like you're doing everything right, but in some way, you just keep beating yourself up and maybe not being able to hold on to a happy day, hold on to a happy home. And so you think to yourself, if you could just get control of your appetite or your cravings or drinking or your disdain for your partner or your boss or something, everything would get fine. But you hold on to that idea, and basically what you're doing is building the wall of the frustra. You're building up a reinforcement that you know what you know, and you want to, within what you know, you'd think you know how to fix what you know. But the fact is, we outgrow the walls of the fortress. Now, this used to happen in France when they built these forts to keep the enemy out. Everybody lived inside, and the people got made babies, and the babies grew up, and next thing you know, there's thousands of people where hundreds used to live, and next thing you know, there's full of toxin and disease because the walls didn't expand. And that's the same as a tree saying, I'm going to grow taller but not wider, and eventually, as you can well imagine, that's going to lead to trouble. So I'm going to introduce you here as to the process of dealing with breaking down a frustra wall, called a frustra buster. And to do that, we need to be in a place to make sure that we're not blowing away good thoughts with bad. We're actually shifting the right things and making sure that we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. We are actually shifting the thoughts that are blocking us, causing frustration, rather than just to throw everything out the window. So sometimes with all this, you can feel that something's wrong with you, or you're at fault for your poor energy or your short temper or your foggy mind, and it makes you feel guilty or even ashamed of where you're at in life. And if it's any comfort to you, you're not alone. I'm here to tell you, it's not your fault. It is part of nature's plan. You really got to understand that we evolve at the border of order and chaos. And chaos is on the other side of a frustra. Order is on this side of a frustra. So when you get overwhelmed, when you get disappointed, when you get frustrated, when you get angry, when you get confused, this is part of nature's plan. It's not you being stupid. It's not something you've done wrong. It's nothing. However, if you hang on to that space, then you might be starting to justify a little bit of pincushion on the side of your arm. Because if you hang on to frustration and you try to push through it by being more frustrated and you try to use what you know to get through it without changing what you know, you're actually doing something pretty stupid. You're causing yourself stress. Now, one fact we can know, and the most important part of that, when you get rid of unsolved frustration, when you end all of the frustrations you have, and you learn that frustration is nature's way of saying it's time to evolve, and you learn to do that, you get back all your energy. You suddenly feel really committed to things. You get lots of self-discipline, self-respect, and you start working on things that are really worth your time and worth your energy and worth your life. So let's go through a few things quickly. Firstly, you won't find answers to frustration in mass consciousness. Mass audiences don't vote positively for their identity, for the thing that builds their wall being knocked down. So most people and most information you find, well, I'll say all information you find that's commercially available on YouTube, on the internet, on books and everything else, and professional speakers all over the world, including me in the past, are telling you what you want to hear to reinforce that frustrated wall. And that frustrated wall needs to come down, or pieces of it, brick by brick. So the masses who are under pressure to achieve their life goals aren't working hard to create a difference or change. They're creating a safe identity. They identify with what they think, and that doesn't sit well with being challenged to become accountable for frustration. To build the quality of inner life in parallel with their outer success, we need to question the origin of our beliefs. And here it begins. The core belief that mass consciousness and organized religion survive on must not be questioned. If it's questioned, it's called heresy, and people have been burnt at the stake or bombed for doing it. These core beliefs, consciousness, let's call it, that drive behavior, drive people's work, their health, their relationship, their wealth, and their self-respect. For groups, it's always better to leave the beliefs out of the range of process and instead work hard to cause others to agree that it was the others causing problem, that the fence or the boundary or the identity or the ideas were correct. And so it's a very, very individual thing when you decide to eliminate frustration once and for all from your life. This is the end of part one of this audio. I'm looking forward to part two soon. Bye for now.